认识现代神学第20讲，我们继续讲历史神学学派，就是潘能博的神学的特点，来到第二点 Number two， 第二方面的特点。 Pannenberg insists that 潘能博坚持说 God's revelation does not come to man immediately， 上帝的启示不是直接临到人的， but always immediatelyThrough the events of history， 肯定是间接的，透过历史事件领导人。 And this history in which revelation takes place is not a special redemptive revelation known only through faith, which is the argument of the Heilsgeschichte school. 而启示所在的历史呢，并不是一个唯独透过信心才能够认识的什么特别的救赎性的启示，而后者呢是 Heilsgeschichte 救恩历史学派所坚持的。 Pannenberg refuses to make any cleavage between salvation history and world history, a common feature of both Heilsgeschichte and existentialist views of revelation. 潘能博拒绝在救恩历史和世界历史之间划分界限，后者乃是救恩历史学派和存在主义的启示观的共同特点。 There is no direct special revelation of God after the fashion of a theophany， 没有上帝直接的特殊的启示的，换言之没有好像神现这样子的启示的。 According to Pannenberg， 根据潘能博， There is only indirect revelation through historical acts， 唯有透过历史作为的间接的启示。 Number three， 第三点。 Universal history then is the exclusive medium for revelation according to Pannenberg， 因此根据潘能博，世界历史是启示的唯一的媒介， not any particular part of history or any strand of history, but history as a whole is God's teacher. 上帝所用的教师不是历史的什么特殊部分，或者历史中的怎么样的一条的线，乃是历史的整体。 Unlike special manifestations of God, historical revelation is available for anyone who has eyes to see.历史性的启示不像一些上帝特殊的彰显，历史性的启示对每一个有眼能看的人都是看得到的。 It is universal in character， 它的性质是普世性的，就是遍及全人类的。 Historical knowledge provides the sole basis for faith， 对历史的知识就为信心提供唯一的基础。Faith then becomes the knowledge of what is true about history. 因此信心呢，就是知道在历史中什么是真实的，这种的知识。 Number four, 第四。 The meaning of history can be found only at its end, not its center as Kuhlmann thought. 历史的意义只能够在它的终结才找得到，不是在它中间去找的，后者是库尔曼所教导的。 That end has taken place proleptically in the resurrection of Christ， 而这个历史的终结呢，就提早的在基督的复活的事情上已经发生了。 Because according to Pannenberg， the resurrection of Christ was the antecedent revelation to the events of the end of the world， 因为根据潘能博的说法，基督的复活乃是一个先存的启示，启示世界终结的时间。因为呢，根据潘能博，基督的复活乃是对于世界末日的事件的一个先前的启示 antecedent revelation。The Resurrection enables us to grasp the whole of history. 复活让我们能够掌握到历史的全部。It is the key to understanding everything in history. 复活是一把钥匙，使人能够明白历史里面的一切的事。This emphasis has led many to call Pannenberg's thinking a theology of the resurrection. 这方面的强调呢，就导致有些人称潘能博的思想为复活的神学。Number five, 第五个要点。Unlike Moltmann, Pannenberg says he seeks to avoid, for the most part, demythologizing the resurrection. 潘能博与莫特曼不一样，他说他试图大体上要避免把复活去神话化。He does not hesitate to call it a historical event. 他不迟疑地称复活为一个历史事件。He calls himself convinced. Not only that the church's belief in the resurrection is not prefabricated myth as Boltmann taught. 他自称是一个相信复活的人。他不单单相信教会相信基督复活并不是一个捏造的神话，正如布特曼所教导的。But also that the resurrection is historical demonstrable in opposition to the Heilsgeschichte school. 不但如此，他也相信复活是历史可以证明的，这个是有别于救恩历史学派。He refuses to explain the gospel stories of the resurrection wholly as the work of the apostles.Imagination. 他拒绝把福音书里面复活的记载完全认为是使徒们的想象所捏造出来的。The apostles, he says, were too discouraged after the death of Jesus to have talked themselves into believing that Jesus was risen from the dead. 他说在耶稣基督死了之后呢，使徒们是非常的失意的，那么的失意呢，他们不可能自言自语的就相信耶稣基督从死里已经复活了。 The only satisfactory explanation for their sudden faith, 他们突然之间有信心，而唯一令人满足的解释就是 was that Jesus appeared to them, 就是耶稣向他们显现了。 Furthermore, 不但如此， the early Christian community could not have survived if the tomb of Jesus had not been empty. 假如耶稣的坟墓不是空的话呢，早期的基督教信仰群体是不可能存留下去的。 An occupied tomb would have destroyed their faith. 有尸体的坟墓就会将他们的信心毁掉的。 And given the Jews a strong argument against the church, 这样呢就给犹太人对教会一个画饼了。 There is much in Pannenberg's claims for which the Orthodox Christian can be grateful.正统信仰的基督徒呢，可以为很多潘能博的言论而感恩。He has helped to remind the contemporary theological world, 他提醒了当代的神学世界 that there is not much of a gap between Boltmann and Barth. 提醒神学世界，布特曼和巴特之间，他们的嫌隙并不很大。Both refuse to bring Christian faith in relation to the realm of objective knowledge. 两者都拒绝把基督教的信仰与客观知识的范围把它拉上关系。Both are advocates of a dialectical theology. 两位都推动都推崇一种的辩证神学 which undermines both historical revelationand the universal validity of Christian truth. 这样子呢，就拆毁了历史上的启示和基督教真理的普世合理性。Pannenberg properly sees that, 潘能博很正确地看到 the neo-orthodox denial of the objectivity of revelation is a threat to the very reality of revelation. 新正统神学否认了启示的客观性，这个是威胁到 启示的真实性本身的。We may also be grateful that 我们也可以很感恩的看到 He is reminding the theological world that the Christian truth is the one truth for all men. 他提醒了神学世界，基督教的真理是为全人类的唯一真理。In refuting the New Orthodox notion that the truth of revelation becomes truth only for individuals by personal appropriation, 当他推翻了新正统的概念，新正统的说法是启示的真理唯独当个人领受的时候才对个人成为真理的。这个是潘恩伯所推翻的。He is stressing the unity of all truth in a way badly needed today. 那么潘恩伯这样做呢，就强调着所有的真理的合一性，这个是今天所极其需要的。He has also made it excessively difficult for any modern critic to retain the Bultmannian skepticism toward the resurrection. 他也让任何愿意保留着布特曼对复活的怀疑的人呢，要面对很多的难题。Nevertheless, 虽然是如此， It would be most unwise to label Pannenberg as a conservative or an evangelical. 若称潘恩伯为保守派或者福音派呢，是非常的不智慧的。His system of thought is by no means a return to the emphasis of historic biblical Christianity. 他的思想系统完全不是回到历史的符合圣经的基督教。下面是五方面的批判。Number one, 第一方面的批判。Though Pannenberg attacks Barth's and Bultmann's positions on the relation of faith and history, 潘恩伯虽然抨击巴特和布特曼的立场，特别是他们对信心和历史之间的关系的立场。In many respects, the Pannenberg group may seem more the heir of New Orthodoxy than its opponent. 在很多方面来说，潘恩伯的圈子比较像是新正统的继承人，而不像他的反对者。Along with New Orthodoxy, he accepts a view of reality virtually the same as that which springs from Kant's primacy of the practical reason. 潘恩伯接受一种的现实观 reality， 差不多完全从康德的实践理性所发展出来的现实观一样。 It is the view of Renaissance man， 这个是文艺复兴人的观点。 There is no transition from wrath to grace in history according to the theology of Pannenberg， 根据潘恩伯的神学呢，在历史上完全没有从愤怒转向恩典的转锐点。 Though he condemns the Barthian dialectic in Revelation， 虽然潘恩伯谴责巴特的那种的在启示里的辩证， and insists that Revelation is objective in the form of historical events， 并且坚持启示在历史的事件里是客观的，但是 he retains a dialectic bifurcation， 他仍然保留着一种辩证式的二分法。By saying, revelation is objective in the form of historical events, but not in concepts. 因为他说，启示是客观的，在历史上的事件上是客观的，可是在概念上并不是。What revelation does take the form of thought, 是的，虽然启示是透过思想的形式。He holds it does not do so authoritatively.In the special form of concepts supernaturally given once for all as in old Protestant theology. 虽然启示可能是带着思想的形式，但是呢，它并不是带有权柄的，就好像老旧的基督教的神学说，就透过一次过赐下的超自然所赐下的特别的 概念，其实不是用这种形式的。The Christian tradition is always in development, he contends. 他坚持说，基督教的传统是不断在发展中 ，because revelation is given in deeds or acts that remain to be explained. 因为启示是透过作为或者行动所赐下，而这些呢，都不断的需要解释的。Number two, 第二方面的批判。From this dialectic comes Pannenberg's refusal to identify the whole Bible with revelation. 从这个的辩证呢，潘能伯就发展出他拒绝把整本圣经与启示等同的立场。So along with New Orthodoxy, he accepts much of the results of negative historical criticism. 因此潘能伯呢与新正统神学一样，接受了很多的负面的历史批判的研究成果。He insists over and over again. 他多次的重复坚持 ，The virgin birth is a myth. 耶稣从童贞女所生是一个神话。He agrees with Bultmann in asserting that the titles expressing Jesus' divinity were created by the early church and read back into the lips of Jesus. 他与布特曼同意，他声称表达耶稣的神性的头衔都是由早期教会所制造出来的，然后呢，就这些的头衔就读回去啊耶稣的口中。Number three, 第三方面的批判。His discussion of the resurrection is also not without several major flaws.他在讨论耶稣的复活的时候也有一些重要的错误的。He does not accept as completely reliable the resurrection narratives. 他并不接受关于基督复活的记载是完全可靠的。Here too he claims to find inaccuracies and legendary materials in the Gospels. 在这点上他也声称在福音书里面有不准确的写法和一些传说的材料。 He also asserts that 他也是声称说 In all probability the earthly Jesus' expectation was not directed toward a privately experienced resurrection from the dead. 最可能的是在地上的耶稣的期待并不是期待一个他私人经验到的从死里复活 but toward the imminent universal resurrection from the dead.乃是期望很快就到来的普世性的死人的复活 which would of course include himself should his death precede it. 那这个当然会包括他自己呢假如他的死是在这个普世复活之前的话 In other words, 换言之 Jesus mistakenly assumed that his bodily resurrection would coincide with the end of the world and the general resurrection of all believers.耶稣错误的假设他的身体复活是与世界末日同时发生的也就是说与所有信徒的一般性的复活同时发生 According to Pannenberg 根据潘能伯 As late as 20 to 30 years after the death of Jesus Paul was still expecting as well this imminent ultimate arrival of the resurrected Jesus for judgment accompanied by the universal resurrection of the dead到了耶稣死二三十年之后保罗仍然有这方面的期待期待很快就要到来的最后的复活耶稣的领导为了要审判和与全世界的死人复活同时发生的 He claims that one does not find this emphasis in such second generation writings as the Gospels 潘能伯声称到了第二代的著作例如福音书的时候就没有这方面的强调了 because they now realize that 因为他们现在就意识到 the resurrection of Jesus was a special event that happened to Jesus only 意识到耶稣的复活是一个特殊的事件唯有在耶稣身上发生而已 This position of Pannenberg destroys with the left hand what he has built with the right hand 这样子呢潘能伯 既然有这个立场，他用右手所建立的就左手拆毁了。 It assumes inherent contradiction between the biblical records concerning the resurrection of Jesus. 他假设了在圣经里对耶稣复活的记录呢有着本质上的矛盾的。 Even worse, 更差劲的是， It must assume that Jesus was mistaken about himself and the resurrection. 耶稣对他自己和对他的复活有错误的概念。 It also ignores the vast testimony in the Gospels and in Paul's letters. 他也忽略了福音书和保罗书信里面许多许多的见证， which assume a lengthy delay between the time of Christ's resurrection and his second coming in judgment. 这些的见证都假设着基督复活和他再来审判之间有着一段很长的延迟的一个阶段。参考马太福音24:42-50。马太福音25:1-14。马可福音8:38和哥林多前书1:7-4:5。我们还有两方面的批判，第四和第五点，我们下次继续讲第四和第五方面的批判。之后呢，我们结束了10就来到第11进化的神学学派。